Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman by heading over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Halbkasten mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
Well, hey everyone.
Hello.
Welcome to another episode of Hypecast, the show where we get hyped about stuff and things. I'm your co-host, Tom Reimann.
I am your other co-host, David Bell. What's going on over here? Who we got here?
Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
It's a hell of a segue.
Yeah. Honestly, with the best introduction I've ever had. My name is Soren Bowie. I used to know these two.
Welcome, Soren. Thank you so much for coming.
This is really exciting for me.
This a long time ago.
We are excited to have you.
Yeah.
Have you not been on one of ours yet?
I have not. No.
You did D&D.
I did go on. I came on one. Two. I guess D&D, and then we also talked about Equilibrium at one point.
That's right.
Yeah, Best Bad Movie.
We did Best Bad Movie. That's right.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
So everyone knows who I am.
No.
Weird old hat from that show. But here's the flavor. I'm bringing like a different flavor to this time.
Mm-hmm.
Even since then, I've been more and more unplugged from pop culture. So, I don't go to the movies, first of all.
Sure.
I wait till things come out on Apple TV, and then I don't rent them until they come out for free later on some other streaming device. And so I watch movies maybe 2 years too late. I don't even watch. I used to be up on trailers really well. When I worked at Crack, there wasn't a trailer that missed me,
mm-hmm.
and I knew them all. My finger was on the pulse, and that has changed completely for me. So I'm gonna come at this from somebody who has not experienced movies in general in a very long time. Won't get references. Pretty useless. You know, like when you haven't watched TV in a long time because you've been streaming, and then you go back to broadcast TV and you see commercials again, and you're like,
oh,
fuck,
yeah.
This is what commercials are like now?
Right, yeah.
That was weird.
I was just on an airplane, and they have the DirecTV and the commercials, and that is just horrifying now.
I watched these trailers, and I was like, whoa, trailers are awesome now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think you've missed much.
It's perfect. You've achieved your final form as a 48-year-old dad.
Yeah, I got there early, as I do for all things.
Do you watch any kids' movies? Have you seen any kids' movies lately?
Yeah, in fact, I took my son to a movie called Missing Link.
Oh, sure.
I heard that it was darker.
It is. It's a little dark, but it's also very good.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. In fact, the darker moments are all, it's a lot of dialogue heavy stuff,
mm-hmm.
and that's where he really loses interest. So it was never an issue at all. He was just he'd play around in the theater for a little bit, trying to learn what was allowed and what wasn't.
Oh, that's
and I was like, no, we don't go more than three seats away. You can't run up and down the aisles.
He's testing the boundaries.
Yes. Yeah. And then he would sit down and actually watch whenever there was an action scene. And it was really fun. It was the first movie he's ever been to, and he loved it.
Nice. That's a good first movie.
Yeah. Solid first movie.
Yeah.
You've given him some real cred when he's writing for a pop culture website in the future.
Yeah. Oh, man. I want so much better for him than my life.
None of this will exist when he's an adult. It's fine.
Yeah, it's true.
That's true. I mean, jobs we do. Right. When we were kids, and everyone was like, what do you want to be? And we're like, I don't know. Is there some sort of job out there where I could do radio, but I could do it from home? And they're like, no, that doesn't exist.
Right. It is what,
they kick you out of the orphanage
from...
for saying that shit.
All right, should we get to trailers, you guys?
Yeah.
All right, let's get right into this.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first trailer is kind of exciting.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Doctor Sleep trailer. Now, We recorded our last Hypecast early.
Mm-hmm.
And this came out like immediately after we recorded, as does a lot of trailers. So this is like a week old.
Yeah, we're a little bit late. We're a little bit late to Dr. Sleep. We had to sleep on Dr. Sleep for a little bit.
Right? Nice.
It was there. I had to do it.
Sure. this is a sequel to The Shining.
Yeah.
Dr. Sleep. What everybody think? What's some thoughts?
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I feel like as I was watching it, I was like, I feel like I've seen this before. It feels an awful lot like one of Edward Bloom's story from Big Fish. Like, you're not really sure what you can trust from it. It's all shot in this kind of a similar lighting and everything. Like, mm-hmm. The Shining has a very specific look to it. It's those, like, clear palettes, and all the lighting is very, very harsh and strong.
Right.
And mm-hmm. these long, slow pans of a room, and then something weird happens in that room. None of that is in this new version of that of
only,
the movie.
Well, only in the flashbacks.
Yeah, of course.
Where it's like I was in this other movie. This is Mike Flanagan, who, I guess if you've been away from movies, he did Oculus, he did what is it, 1920 something, the Stephen King one on Netflix. He did Hill House.
He didn't do that one. He did Gerald's Game.
Oh, he did do. I thought he did both. Mm-mm. He definitely did Gerald's Game, The Haunting of Hill House. He's a very good horror director.
Yeah, I know Haunting of Hill House.
Okay. And
one
so,
touchstone, ladies and gentlemen. I know who he is.
I trust him to do something good with this, but from everything I hear from the book, like, I think there's vampires in it. Tom, can you confirm?
They're like psychic vampires. You see them in the trailer. It's Rebecca Ferguson from the Mission Impossible movies. It's like sucking the essence out of other children with The Shining.
Yeah,
sure.
So they're vampires technically. They prey on other kids that have The Shining so that they can take their power and extend their own life and power.
Right.
Oh, man, that's also like that ruins all the terror of the first movie. It was like a real unorchestrated evil that mm-hmm. existed in that house or in mm-hmm. that hotel. And it was like it's finite and it doesn't have ambitions to be bigger. It just needs a new caretaker every once in a while.
Right. It's
and
just
now
memories.
We've got people who are wandering the earth being like, no, we're taking the power from the Outlook Hotel and we're going to extend it until it encompasses the entire earth.
That's
Overlook Hotel. Jesus Christ, Soren. That came out before your kid was born.
Oh, by the way, all my old knowledge is gone as well.
Right. Your son is evaporating your memories, much like the vampires.
Did I call
the
Outlook?
You yeah, did. You called the Outlook.
It's like a really great, like the hotel's not great, but your email server, it's like, it's outstanding there.
Right. It's incredible. It's got like triple encryption. Anyway.
But yeah, I agree with you in that the first, the Shining movie is like, it's creepy because it's mysterious because you're not sure. It doesn't, like you said, it doesn't want anything. It's just a presence. It's a memory that's infecting this house. So it's weird that they went from that to psychic vampires. Like that is a very odd and specific threat that I did not think existed in this universe. And the trailer keeps doing that where it's like kind of creepy and stuff, and then it cuts to like a guy with eyes glowing and a top hat, and it's like, wait, what the hell was that? Where did that person fit in?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and they do the flashbacks and I'm like, oh, that looks scary. And then I realized that all the really scary scenes in the trailer are from the flashback. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm just scared of The Shining.
Right. I don't know, we'll see. I like the director. He's never done anything I didn't like.
Even that Ouija sequel.
He did the Ouija sequel and it's good.
Yeah.
So it's I don't know why it's good. I mean, I know why it's good because he did it.
Yeah.
All right. The next one?
Sure.
All right. It's Ready or Not.
This looks like this looks like You're Next.
Yes.
Wait, I don't know that movie. I don't know what Your Next is.
Your Next is, I don't want to spoil Your Next. It's a home invasion movie that to me looked like every other boring home invasion horror movie, and it just goes off the rails in a delightful way. It becomes kind of like Home Alone, actually. That basically, all right, I guess I will spoil it because it's been out for a while. It's a home invasion, and then you learn that the woman in it is basically like raised on like a cultist survivalist farm, so it just becomes Die Hard. Like, it's that where like the people in creepy masks and stuff are way in over their heads all of a sudden.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And yeah, this definitely has that feel. I know what you're saying, Tom, where it's like she clearly becomes kind of a badass in the trailer.
It's like, it looks like a, to me, it looks like a mix between Your Next and Game Night.
Because
it's also like weirdly funny.
Yeah.
It's got Adam Brody in it.
It does have Adam Brody in it.
I thought this looked incredible. This was the trailer that I watched where I was like, trailers are amazing now.
It is a good trailer.
It was outstanding.
I mean, I'm going to see it. I'm excited to watch it.
It's got Henry Zerny from Sharp Objects.
And, Who is he in Sharp Objects?
And the first Mission Impossible. He's the stepdad in Sharp Objects.
Oh. And then, okay, he's that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
He's the guy. He's like an old guy.
He's one of those that guys. He's a real Richard Jenkins.
Yeah, he is.
I really love this. I love that they capitalize on like a slow burning joke, even in the trailer of the crossbow.
It comes back
three times.
It's nice that they do like three callbacks in the trailer. They keep escalating the crossbow joke.
Yeah, I mean, this movie is really gonna depend on the actual material in it. Like the premise, like you said, Tom, the premise isn't that original, but it's like a good premise for doing a lot of really fun stuff. And it just sort of has to deliver, right? That's all I want from it.
This is how out of touch I am. The first two times that I watched it, I thought that was Margot Robbie in the main character role.
I think it's Samara Weaving.
Samara Weaving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Samara.
Who's that?
She was in the first season of Ash vs. Evil. She's Hugo Weaving's niece.
Neat. That's all I need to know.
What's that Netflix movie, The Sitter? I think.
I gotta see that.
And I think she's also in the new Bill and Ted.
I gotta see The Sitter because it's directed by Mick G.
It sure is.
And like, there was nothing about that movie I cared about, and then I looked up Mick G, as I, you know, occasionally do.
Yeah, you know, you got to keep tabs on Mick G. It's one of the, it's just nice to know where he is.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Monster Trucks as well.
Ooh.
Oh, shit. Yeah,
I still haven't seen that.
We never watched Monster Trucks.
We were so excited
to see that $100 million piece of shit movie about monsters living in cars.
Well, now it's come back to bite you.
Like a monster truck.
All right, the next trailer is similar to this one.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. I've watched this trailer. I don't remember it at all. It's called Trespassers.
Yeah, it's sort of like The Visitors or like it's another home invasion movie.
Oh, Fairuza Balk, right?
Yeah, yes.
That's it. Okay. I was wondering
these types of movies where there's a home invasion, that like the real horror is encroachment on basically an extension of your body. Your home is yours,
right?
And this is where you feel the most comfortable, and now there's an alien presence inside of it, and how horrifying that is, that you can't get rid of this foreign agent that's like, it's poison to your entire house. Right. And in this case, they set it up in the trailer. Oh, this is no one's house. Like, yeah. we just bought it, maybe, and we're moving into it. We have no memories here. Nothing feels comfortable or home like to us here. Oh no, now there's bad guys.
Yeah
I guess the only way, like, maybe this has some, like You're Next, it has some sort of crazy twist, because right now it just looks like the most boring movie. Like, it has nothing, no aspect to it. I think the only home invasion besides You're Next that I liked was The Purge, because The Purge had that like classist thing, that that added level where it was like they actually had something to say. Because otherwise, it's that. It's just these people won't leave.
Yeah, it's just kind of like Friday the 13th.
Right. You know?
But
and there's just better versions of that. Funniest Games was like a really great version of that, where it's, you have some, as long as the antagonist seems innocuous at first, it's really great. And like, you're not really sure where you stand on the playing field in terms of like, am I allowed to just politely ask these people to leave? And then it gets worse and worse and worse and escalates. In this case, you just started 100 and they're already
in
the house.
That's always the more interesting version of this premise is when it's like, how much do we, just showing how married we are to the social contract, like what you were saying. Yeah. It's like, is it polite for me to ask, like, because you get into so much trouble just trying to be polite.
Did either of you guys see Mother?
With the exclamation point? No.
No.
I always thought of it as an angry mother. You guys should see that because it's kind of a home invasion, but it's a surreal film, but it's kind of built in a way that you feel like you're watching a nightmare because it's kind of on the idea these people are coming and they won't leave. Mm-hmm. But part of it is her husband is like, yeah, come in. And it's like so inviting and she's pregnant and vulnerable and the house just keeps filling with people and to a point that it's like over the top. And like in that sense, it's a literal nightmare that everybody can relate to, which is just like, get the fuck out of my house. It's great. Perfect. I recommend it. There's a couple gruesome things in it, but I think it's
Aronofsky, right? So
yeah, it's Aronofsky. So yeah, just from that, you kind of know if you like it or not.
It's a movie I can watch once and then never again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The only other thing I noticed about this trailer was that if anyone saw that movie Revenge, which came out either at the beginning of this year or sometime last year, which is pretty much a retelling of I Spit on Your Grave. I think this is the exact same house from that movie. It looks very similar.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that's very cool. When you can spot a location that's exactly the same.
Well, it's because if you've seen Revenge, like the house is so unique that it's like, oh, they sort of play with that in the film. It's a pretty good movie. It's worth a watch.
That was our previous co-worker, Jason Pargin, had been watching a movie once that was every holiday season he watches any movie that has dogs in it is holiday related. And he was watching one and noticed that one of the rooms that in this family's house from this very Hallmarkish movie was from a softcore porn.
How did he notice that?
I don't know. He recognized the room and then went back and looked up the softcore porn and found that it was exactly the same and that they just shot in the same house.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I figure when that kind of stuff happens, it's all like, oh, this is some producer's house. Or, you know, just one of those houses that they just rent out for. Nobody really lives in it. They just rent it out for productions.
I get a friend who has a nice house in LA and it's been in a few things now because I think just someone, it's on some list, and they're like, these people were willing to let you take their house for a couple days. I don't know.
Yeah!
I just noticed something.
What's that?
This is all horror movies we got on here, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's a question I had. Is this just the time of year when horror movies come out?
I don't know. I guess?
Yeah, weirdly, not a lot of them come out around October.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
They usually come out in September, right? I think the idea is people go. This is my assumption, is people don't go to the theaters on Halloween. They want to rent something.
Okay.
That's my guess. So, because horror movies like It Chapter 2 is coming out in September. Mm-hmm. Everything comes out a month before Halloween.
I see.
I also, I wonder if it's for costumes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, the maybe, marketability of this, the secondhand marketability.
All I know is it's a weird pattern that's been happening. All right. Well, speaking of horror, we have our next trailer, which is for the second season of The Terror.
Yeah.
Infamy.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch Terror? Did you watch?
You know what? I don't even remember now.
Oh, okay.
What happens in The Terror trailer?
It's about Japanese internment camps in America in World War II.
Oh, yes, I did watch this. I was very confused because you take this horrific point in history and the people who are suffering in this really horrifying way, and then you're like, oh, by the way, there's an added
and
horror
then add
for
a monster.
You as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't need the monster.
Yeah.
That's like if Chernobyl came out and they were like, and there's a ghost.
Yeah, also everyone who's going to be dead in 5 years, they're also being haunted.
Yeah.
Isn't that scary? No.
I mean,
sort of in the background at this point.
I'm currently watching season one of this, and they based it off the HMS Terror, which is a real lost ship that happened in the Arctic. And so I think the idea is they're taking real historical mm-hmm. moments, adding ghosts. This is a weird choice. It's got George Takei in it.
Right. And he's so outspoken about this period in history because he experienced it. And he does a lot of like speaking tours and stuff about it that I I'm curious enough to watch it. Like on its face, it seems like very insensitive and a bad idea. But like it makes me wonder if there even really is a ghost in the camp.
Oh, it's like a way to manifest how you feel, this terror that you feel about the circumstances in a tangible way.
Yeah, something like that.
I would watch that.
Yeah.
It does feel like the tagline for this should just be like, we have George Takei in this, so it's cool, you guys.
Yes, no, it's cool.
Like, we let him read everything before and make sure. Because it is like, man, it is depressingly topical.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be hard to watch for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm watching the first season of The Terror is great. So
yeah, no, I liked it a lot.
What is it on?
It was on AMC.
I've been watching it on Hulu.
Oh, Hulu.
I was watching because Tom recommended, because I was watching Chernobyl and I loved it. And we were like, I was like, I need more Jared Harris action. And he was like, check out The Terror. So I got all the Jared Harris I need right
now. Yes, so much Jared Harris.
Yeah. It's great. Gonna watch Sherlock Holmes 2 soon.
Yeah. A Game of Shadows. Mm-hmm. Get even more Jared Harris up in you.
Oh, yeah. Filling my life with that Harris. All right.
I was my last hiatus that I had from the show, I was very excited to just spend free time out in the world while my family was at work or at daycare. Mm. And I was just happening down the streets of Culver City, and I was like, oh, there's a theater. I should go see a movie. I haven't seen a movie in forever. And so the next thing that was playing, I just went and saw with no context at all. I went and saw Overlord.
Oh!
And so that's why I'm bringing it up now, because I walked into that, and the first half an hour of that movie is a World War II movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right.
Takes a turn.
It really does.
So you're the one guy who, like, because I watched that movie, like, I assume people watching it and at least saw the trailers. So you were the guy who was
the only
was
one.
Like, wow.
And I started looking around the theater like, can you believe this shit? Like,
that's amazing.
It was a real surprise to me. Yeah. I was like, they got me. Yeah. This is a horror movie? Get out of town.
Yeah. As soon as Euron Greyjoy shows up and turns into a monster.
Yeah.
Jesus. That's unsettling.
So like, anyway, yeah, these movies take historical, like these big historical moments and then turn them in. They're like, well, what about an extra layer on top of it?
Right.
You're like, oh, I mean, okay, sure.
That's the concept of Nazi zombies has always been a little strange to me, because it's like, you remember Nazis? What if they were worse? And it's like, well,
right. Yeah, it's are you afraid of, afraid of tarantulas? Well, what if one had a knife? I guess that's worse.
I mean, if he had 8 knives, one for each little hand.
Mm. That'd be kind of adorable.
Then he'd be very formidable.
He couldn't lift them. Like, he'd be having trouble with it. It'd be cute.
Mm-hmm.
Have we done, like, a show about internment camps without spooky ghosts?
We must have. I mean, there's Showa.
Right, because I guess that's... Yeah. Because it's weird. It's weird that this is a thing if we haven't actually just like done a straightforward movie or show about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the first horror movie, the fucking Chernobyl Diaries came out before Chernobyl. Mm-hmm. The first like movie I remember about Chernobyl was a found footage about spooky ghosts in Chernobyl. Like, it's, right, real...
it's very unnecessary.
Yeah.
The real world event was horrific enough.
Yeah. All right. I want to talk about this next trailer real bad.
What's the next one?
It's called Above the Shadows.
Oh, shit. Yes.
Tom, I want you to know, you posted this in the doc.
I did.
I watched it before, like, a couple days ago, and I was just like, I'm not going to put that in.
Oh, you did? Oh, no.
Because it's so bad looking.
Everyone should watch this trailer.
Yeah.
And when I said the trailers earlier, when I was like, trailers have really locked it in and they know what they're doing now. There's always the exception to the rule, and this one was so far afield from what a trailer should be that I was like, yes, back on solid ground for old Bowie.
Right. The shocking thing about this trailer is the realization that they have real actors in it.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Yeah, because just for people who haven't seen it, the sound is wrong in the trailer.
The mix is bad. The music is so loud. You can't hear the dialogue. The dialogue is barely audible over the music.
Yes. And so you think you're watching like a really shitty indie film, And then it's like, yeah, we also got Megan Fox in here. Mm-hmm. And who else was in it?
Olivia Thirlby.
Right.
Alan Ritchson, who's he's in a Turtles movie in like Blue Mountain State. I think there's somebody else in it too.
Jim Gaffigan,
that's right.
What is he doing in this?
What is anyone doing in this movie? Like the movie is about a woman who can turn invisible, who's using her powers to help this guy get back into mixed martial arts.
She doesn't turn invisible. She's only invisible, I think. And she, yeah, and she.
What, wait, she's perpetually invisible?
Yeah, she's invisible to everyone except this martial arts man. And she's like, they're like, how are we going to help each other? He's like, you got to help me get my fighting career back on path.
That is like,
I kind of
the 148th thing on the list of things I would ask an invisible woman to help me do.
I know, but I kind of love this because if it's from her perspective where she's like, no one sees me, and one guy sees her, and she's like, thanks God. He's like, I need you to get my MMA career going. Just like, really? Okay, I guess. Like,
she's like, oh no. Like, she didn't notice his tap out t-shirt at first. Yeah. She's just so dazzled by the fact he can see her.
The trailer has, from what I could hear, the trailer has like them like, we were meant to help each other. And it's like, can you imagine like fate throwing you at this guy and having to accept that idea?
Yeah, for Providence to throw you a bone and be like, listen, I'm gonna have this ghost help you get your fighting career back on track. You're welcome. Like, that's a little extra from God. It's also really strange that the way the trailer progresses, she helps him get bigger and bigger fights. And he does ask the question in the trailer, is like, how did you do this for me? We don't get that answer in the trailer, presumably in the movie, but I'm not holding my breath.
You got to see the film, man. They got to tantalize you with something.
And then they start showing like elements of one of the bigger fights that he's in. And it's not going great. Like, no. he's in over his head. Like, this guy belonged exactly where he was in his fighting career. Right.
Maybe there's a reason his MMA career stalled.
Yeah. And then he gets into a romantic relationship with this invisible woman.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot. Newspapers somehow pick it up.
Right.
They're like, who is the shadow woman?
Right.
Oh, right.
How do they
have
a picture
God.
Of her? Is it that she can be seen? Like, is it the idea that if you shine a flashlight at her, you can, like,
see the shadow? I don't know.
Because it's called Above the Shadows. There's a lot of shadow theme going on.
Oh, I have to watch this movie in two years.
Yeah,
we sort of need to.
We owe it to ourselves.
Right. I need to see what this film is.
Yeah. This could be the best film ever made.
It could
be.
It could be. There is a universe in which that's true.
Yep. It's possible also that they knew it was bad and they're like, listen, we're just going to mix it wrong. Trailer, movie, the whole thing. And people will take from it what they can.
Right.
But if they can't hear what's going on, really no loss there.
Yeah. And at least, yeah, people will like talk about it like we are right now. Because the only reason this is worth talking about is because the trailer is so bafflingly badly mixed. I sincerely hope the whole movie sounds like that.
Oh, me too.
Like, that would be amazing.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
Like some song by Sixpence None the Richer comes on and it's fucking deafening. You can't hear anything that's happening. Oh, shit.
Let's get to our final trailer.
Oh, what's the last trailer?
It's Stranger Things Season 3.
Oh, yeah. That's like very soon. I didn't realize how close we are
July
to the 4th, 4th of July.
Yeah. Yeah, time is... We're hurtling towards the abyss.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're circling the drain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is... I don't know. This looks like the others. Why does the cop want to keep Eleven safe all the time? Did you watch the last season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is he so concerned with... At this, like, she can blow people's heads.
She's his replacement daughter.
Yeah, I know. It's just... I got really bummed out by that, like, conflict being shown in this, where it's like, we're still on that, huh?
Yeah, she is his ward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Watching this trailer... The first time I was like, cool, yeah, they had to do something bigger and bigger, and now it looks like maybe there's a T-Rex in this one.
Right, some sort of booger Tyrannosaurus is gonna be stomping all over him.
And then I watched it again and again, and I was like, oh, what a weird sequence of dialogue they have in this movie. The lines that they happen to like stop on in between all the action are, we have to stop him. We're going to end you. We need to end this. I need you safe. I need you to trust me. And like, those are the lines of dialogue that come up throughout it. And it's all of it's just these just like worn platitudes of like, yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. I guess maybe that's what the Duffer Brothers do well is they take right. all these elements of movies that you've known for so long and it makes it feel very much like home to you. But it's so funny to have everybody in the movie saying, we need to end this. I'm going to end you. That needs to end.
It kind of does. That's the thing. Hearing all that in the trailer, I kept thinking, like, how are they going to keep going with this series? Like, it kind of does need to end because every season is just, oh, the Upside Down is back. We thought it wasn't here, but it's back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's affecting one person. And this time it's a new person, and that's fine. But, like, I love this. I watched the shit out of this show. But I'm not sure what else the show has to offer.
I don't think it can get much bigger. Like,
right.
Not in terms of there's nowhere for them to go. It's just that's not what I liked about it. Like, I almost feel like what I got from this trailer is that it's too big.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I liked that it was kind of a smaller.
Yeah, a contained evil.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, the first one was great. It was this weird thing that was sort of haunting the woods of this town. And mm-hmm. occasionally it would suck somebody into the Upside Down. Yeah, it does. Once it gets like a worldwide phenomenon, then it loses some of its luster because I don't know. How do you fight something like that?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What if it goes on for another 10 seasons? Because it's, 1984? 1985 now?
I can't remember. It must be, yeah.
Like, are we going to get like them going to see Jurassic Park in Congo and stuff?
Them in their 20s.
Yeah.
They're dressing up as Christian Slater from Broken Arrow for Halloween.
As we all did, yeah.
Yeah. It's an easy costume, man. You just get a flight mm-hmm. suit. Yeah, I mean, I wonder if, like, I didn't notice those things that you pointed out, Soren, until you pointed them out, and I wonder if it's because you've sort of stepped away from watching every trailer that comes out, because this is just every trailer. This is every Avengers trailer, you know, like every big action adventure movie, because it's always the same stakes. It's like, we got to stop this person. We've got to keep you safe. You've got to trust me. They do say it all the time. And I think Dave and I might just be numb to it at this point.
We're numb to a lot of things at this
sure
point.
Sure are.
Well, yeah, that would make sense. It does seem really silly. Like, if you didn't know, if you were going to make a trailer before you knew what the movie is about, these are the exact lines I would use.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't tell us anything, which is, it's both good and bad. I really get annoyed by trailers that tell you the entire film.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't mind it that much because I already know I'm going to watch this.
Yeah.
I'm just, I'm getting a little bummed by how much bigger the scope keeps getting, because I like that it was sort of, you know, it was an alternate dimension, and that's kind of huge, but it was still pretty localized in terms of it was in this one town. We had a relatively small core group of characters.
Yeah, it was finite and there was room to breathe. I mean, mm-hmm. there was room for the comedy and stuff in it because the kids weren't dealing with this thing the entire time. Like, for a while it was just a story about a kid that went missing. And then they found another little girl in the woods.
Right.
Like, what? That's a really great start for a story.
Yeah.
And like, the magical elements were kind of this nice thing you could tap into every once in a while. But dealing with a young girl who has never seen humanity, and also while you're missing your friend, is a really good coming of age story.
You know what this reminds me of is The Matrix.
Yes.
Where the first Matrix is on the fringes of this thing that you're not quite sure what it is, but you get enough to it to be really cool. And then the second and third are like, all right, let's go in there. Let's go to Zion and have a rave. And you're just like, oh, I did not want this.
There's nothing I
needed. I didn't need all of this.
There's a really great, I think it's Emerson quote that he says, when I first met you, I thought you were an ocean vast and endless. And then I walked your shores and found you only to be a lake. And now I am done with you. And like, that's
that is, oh, that's a great burn.
That's how these these sort of franchises feel to me, is that from the beginning, you're like, it feels so limitless in a way where you're like, the door has swung open on a world and then swung shut. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, I can't believe everything I just saw in there. And then after a while, yeah, you go into the room and you're like, okay. All right. No, I think I got a handle on all this.
Right.
This is fine.
We're all set.
Yeah, it feels like they pulled the ripcord too fast or whatever, where they're just shown us too much too soon. At the same time, though, the other side of that is like Westworld. Where I'm just like, season two, I was just like, I'm fucking done with this. Tell me a thing that's happening or don't. I'm going to stop watching you. Like, I think that's the problem, is that the natural progression, if you're not an asshole, then you have to just tell the audience what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a hard line to walk, I think.
Well, Westworld sort of does it both. It blew up the scope too much, and then it also didn't tell us anything. So it's like, what the fuck even is this show now?
Yeah. Which is, I think, what they're saying to themselves.
There's people complain a lot about the second season of The Walking Dead, where they're out on that farm.
Right.
But I really enjoy that season because it is, it really, I think they did it because of budgetary restrictions. Mm-hmm. They were like, well, we got to put this all in one place.
Right.
And there's not a lot of zombie action. It's just people dealing with the ethical decisions of what to do with somebody in your group who's bad and is not good for the group. But I really enjoyed that season because there's a lot of people just sitting around having the same conversation over and over, which is what you would do in that situation where you're like, we've talked this through 100 times. And then the climaxes are all very underwhelming too, in the way that they would be in a real situation where, like, they've had this guy that they kidnapped by accident because he was in a part of a group that attacked them, and Shane just takes him out and we don't even see it on screen, snaps this guy's neck. Or like, they're looking for this little girl the entire time. And the show is setting you up. Like, she's alive. She's out there. This little girl is alive, right. And Daryl won't stop looking for her. No, she's dead the whole time.
That was a solid reveal, too. Yeah, I mean, The Walking Dead has its own... I stopped watching that, but, like, from what I could tell, last time I was watching, they didn't leave, like, the same two states or something. That was the only problem I had with it, which is, like, at any point, I felt like the government could step in and be like, you know, if you went, like, that way for a mile, we're all back to normal.
We're all fine.
Like, we have a wall set up. What have you guys been doing in here?
Yeah, I think Jack presented that idea back in the day, was that it was just Georgia. Georgia was the only place that was fucked up, that had ever been attacked. Like, every other state had quelled this thing, and finally they just cut off Georgia. And these people just didn't realize it. They thought the whole world was fucked.
Government's watching with binoculars like, does that guy have a tiger? What's going on?
Shh, man, put up the wall.
All right, so that's it for our trailers.
Cool.
Let's get into some news stories, starting with the fact that the Avengers Endgame is returning to theaters. They really want that
Avatar record, which is funny because Disney just bought Avatar, so it's like they're trying to beat their own record.
Yeah. They're promising new footage.
It's a new end credits footage.
Really?
Yeah, so it's like not even... It's a real...
So it's just the movie again with an end credits.
It's a real scumbag maneuver to try to eke that last couple hundred million out of people.
It was a real bummer for me because I'm not going to go see it in the theaters, and I was just waiting for it to come out on my Apple TV, mm-hmm. and it hasn't, and then it won't for a while.
Yeah, that is kind of mean because I'm the same way. I saw it once, and then I was like, should I go see it in theaters? But... we have to see a movie, at least one movie a week in theaters for the podcast. So it's like, I just don't have time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I've just been waiting to fucking buy it and watch it in the comfort of my own home. Because it's 3 hours long. I don't want to sit in a theater for that.
Yeah.
I want to be able to pause it and go get something to eat.
It's funny to me that, like, it's only come out like 2 months ago. And we're like, oh, we got to wait even longer for it to come out. And I'm like, I'm remembering as a kid the... agonizing wait for Jurassic Park to come out on video. That fucking film was in theaters for 18 months.
Whoa. So it was out for a year before it came out. Is that how VHS used to be?
The theatrical exclusivity window used to be 6 months. So it would be a minimum of 6 months before a movie would come out on video. Jurassic Park ran successfully in the theater for so long that the movie came out in June of 1993. That VHS didn't come out until October of 1994.
Watching movies used to be really hard.
Yeah.
Like, even before VHS then, it's just like you could only go see it in theaters.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, similar to your Overlord story, my dad has a story of just one summer day being like, I think I'll see a movie. Oh, this looks interesting. Raiders of the Lost Ark. And just like going in and being coming out like, I just saw one of the best Raiders. Movies of all time. I didn't know it existed. Because it's like, how the fuck would he have known? Like, it's in the newspaper, some ad, like...
Apparently,
I don't know.
That was the story of Raiders. Like, it didn't have much marketing and then just built over word of mouth.
Mm. I can remember as a kid calling our local theater. We got like a six theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in a town next to mine. And I wanted, like, before the weekend came, wanting to know what was at the movies. But the line could only hold like two calls at a time. So it would just be busy all the time.
Ugh.
So it was just me, like, pushing redial. Call N, pushing redial, call N, like just sitting there trying to find out what's playing at the theater.
Right, that automated voice that would tell you the movie times.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. That was terrible.
Yeah.
Everything was terrible before the internet.
But then again, also, I would go to the movies and it would be $4.
That's true.
Right, yeah. We used to hit up those 350 matinees, 325 even some days, man, shit. So, yeah, that's the Avengers.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's not much more to say about that.
Yeah, it's the same movie you've already seen. I mean, yeah. if you want to go see it again to see the extra footage, fine. I mean,
maybe what I'll do, I'm on my hiatus right now. I will pick a day, and I'm going to go to the AMC Dine-In Theater.
Ooh,
and
yeah,
just make a meal of it, literally.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah,
that's the thing is, I like epics. I love epic films, and I realize that. Especially old epics, and I realized why is because I can watch them on DVD. Like, I'll watch Dr. Zhivago, and it's mainly because I don't have to sit in a dark theater and just watch it. Like, I can go do other things. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think dine-in theater is the best way to do this.
I used to have a job where I tested DVDs a long time ago.
Oh, no.
And I would test... We got Return of the King there, and I watched that. I've seen that movie now like 22 times. I've seen it in Czech and Hungarian and stuff. And the thing about the DVD version of it is that the credits are 33 minutes long.
They sure are.
Oh my God.
And I got to watch the whole credit sequence.
That's awful.
Oof.
Oh, ow. All right. All right. Let's move on.
That's like...
I have stuff to say about that because I worked at a movie theater, and when a movie was like really long and you're closing, you'd like, I've watched the last 20 minutes of the first Spider-Man like hundreds of times. Yeah. For that reason. It really breaks you.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I saw everything that came out at that time because of that, but it was also meant that, I mean, I know I've seen Tokyo Drift so many times that I can speak some Japanese.
I mean, that's
great,
like,
movie.
That's like a Faustian bargain. It's like you get to see every movie, but you're going to see him 100 times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of just movies and hell, Netflix's new Adam Sandler film has gotten record breaking views.
Murder mystery,
boasting,
right?
Murder mystery, which I'm sure is fine. Like, Adam Sandler makes a specific type of movie and you either like it or you don't. And I think Netflix is a good place for him because I think this is the reason this movie does so well is because if you're at home and you're like, yeah, I'll watch it for free. It's right here. So
are those numbers trustworthy too from Netflix? Is anybody watching over Netflix?
Well, they notoriously don't release their numbers except in situations like this where they're like, this is like with this and like with Bird Box, they're like record breaking streaming numbers. We're like, oh, I guess. Like,
because we don't know what that means. We don't know that people are watching this front to back.
Right.
These might be watching 15 minutes of it and then bowing out.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. We don't know what they consider a completion we don't exactly know how they're counting it.
Yeah. And Bird Box was the same way, which is like, again, it makes sense. It's like, yeah, you offering this pretty good sci-fi movie for free, and people, might have watched an hour of it or might have watched the whole thing.
It's a free movie with the big star in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I'll watch that for free. I'm probably going to watch Murder Mystery. Why not?
I don't. After Ridiculous 6.
Well, the Ridiculous 6 was that was pretty uniquely terrible.
Did you watch Ridiculous 6?
No, what is that?
You don't need to watch Ridiculous 6.
Oh, wait, is it a Western?
It was Adam Sandler's Western comedy.
I know what it is. I did not watch it.
Yeah, you don't.
It was the first movie, there was a big story about him getting like a 3 or 4 movie deal with Netflix. That was the first one he put out, and it is one of the worst films I have ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Mm, I like hearing that I was right and not doing something.
All right. Speaking of bad things, bad films, there's a new Paranormal Activity coming for some reason.
Sure.
That I know I'll watch. And I'll be angry that I did.
You're right. I think I have seen all of them.
Yeah.
Where do we stand? And what happened in the very last one of those?
Oh man, it's like I couldn't.
We finally
even tell
see
you.
The demon. They have a special camera, and we
you
start,
kind
see
of
the
see the demon.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. He's
it's
like
the
a
same
smoke
demon
thing.
Though.
Yeah.
I think it's there's
he's
a plot. There's a plot to them.
He's got you know what he's got a planner with all these little home visits. Written
right.
down. It's very efficient demon.
The prequel explained what was happening. It was like a coven of witches created the demon, and they're okay. like putting it into.
It
they
is,
wanted to put it into a boy.
It is,
and like this... it went into a girl first, and that's why the first Paranormal and second happened.
Yeah,
it's like trying to steal their baby or something.
I want to point out that it is the exact same plot of Hereditary.
Yeah.
Oh.
But done way worse.
Done way oh. more shittily, but
yeah. Yeah, the paranormal man. I think I did a video for Cracked at one point where I went through all the Paranormal Activities, and I actually just took a stopwatch and counted how long there were shots of just sleeping, and it was taking up like 20% of every film. It was like when you put them all together, it was like hours of people just sitting quietly or sleeping that made up most of those movies.
That's where the horror is, though. I feel like that's okay. I'm gonna give them a pass on that. Like that's what I love about Kubrick stuff is that it's like. You just sit there on nothing for a while, and then you're like, oh, fuck, something's moving. Something's
right.
moving that shower curtain.
Right, it's tension.
Yeah, it's all those movies have. So I guess in retrospect, it does seem silly, but like at the time, you're waiting for something to happen.
Right. It's the same with Adam Sandler, where it's like, I make fun of it, but I mean, it works. People are watching it. I watch this stuff.
Yeah. I will say that the fourth Paranormal Activity one, where it's, that one felt... a little too voyeuristic for me because the main character is like a 13 or 14 year old girl and there's a lot of the movie that's dedicated to just watching her sleep and I'm like it occurred to me it's like I'm just sitting here watching a teenage girl sleep.
Yeah, I'm sitting in my own house alone in the dark just watching this video.
I was looking for ghosts, honestly.
Right, because if someone walks in, they're like, "What the fuck is this?" And it's like, I swear, it's a movie.
No, it's ghosts. I'm trying to keep her safe. Jesus Christ. Oh man.
There's a stand-up comedian who has a really great bit about when he was a young kid going to his rich friend's house, and they were watching Dracula, the Bram Stoker's Dracula. And there's there's that scene out in the garden where Dracula's like this weird wolf man and he's having sex with that redheaded woman. And it's like, it's a really weird bestiality sex scene. And the kid's mom walked in on that at that point. She's like, what's going on in here? And they're like, get out, mom, get out. And then the movie ended and they're like, that scene was really fucked up. Should we go watch it again? And they watched it again. And she came back down at the exact same scene. So for all she knew, the last hour and a half, they had just been sitting there watching this.
And like that was the movie?
Yeah.
That's amazing. All right. Final story. We got a Pixar movie coming.
Oh, yeah.
Soul.
Yeah, it's their next movie, I think.
This is their next one?
After... it comes out in 2020, so it's after whatever that
the one with Chris Pratt.
The fantasy one.
Do we know anything about this? It's
no,
just the guy who made
just
up.
We just know the title, and that it's from the guy that made up. So it's sure to be devastating.
Hmm. Yeah, they're calling it Soul, which is enough for me to go, ah, fuck.
Yeah.
Like that's gonna be real heavy.
Right. Yeah. It's like from the director of Up, Soul. We're in real trouble.
Yeah. I mean, they already did Inside Out, which was fucking... That was another one where it was like, Pixar's making a movie that takes place inside someone's head, seeing their emotions, and it was like, oh, no.
All right, I had to mentally prepare before I go
see
this.
Yeah, I mean...
I feel like there should be crisis counselors in the theater.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what this is.
Yeah, I mean, it's Pixar. I'm sure it's going to be fine.
Right. Tom, I am more excited about another movie that I want to tell you about.
Oh, Dave, do you have a movie that deserves more hype? I know this is a loaded question. I already know you do.
Yeah. I do have a movie that deserves more hype.
And what a movie.
And I'm very excited about this movie. This is called Verotica, which is a combination of the word violence and erotica, apparently.
It's sort of a combination of the word violence and erotica.
Okay. Well, there's a K in it, inexplicably.
Yeah. That is an issue. It's got a 20% on Rotten Tomatoes.
You guys are, this is a slow burn. You're about to learn this why is we're a so slow excited burn. About it.
It is the directorial debut of Danzig.
It's like pretend somebody is listening to this and they don't know who Danzig is. Like, tell them.
Danzig?
Tell them. Tell them who
they're
Danzig
is. They're the lead singer of the Misfits. Mm-hmm. Then he did his own solo thing, and he is just a kind of a hilarious guy. He's like a punk rock Rob Zombie, or he's, at least I think that's what he's aiming for in terms of directing.
He's like the prototypical edgelord.
Yes. Well, that's the thing, is he's now kind of an old guy. I've heard so many stories about like him like walking out of like a tour because he demanded soup, and like there's that the picture of him walking down the street all gothed out but holding like cat food.
Yep.
It's that where it's like he's just a guy, you know, but that's his image that he has to do, that he has to stick with now. Yeah, so he decided to direct a horror movie. It's a horror anthology.
Mm-hmm.
And from the reviews, it's just hilarious.
Of course it is.
Do you know what the premise of it?
It's a series of horror shorts.
Yes.
One of them was described as a woman with eyes where her nipples should be.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's like a spider woman.
My eyes are down here.
People.
Is that what it's called?
It should be. Holy shit.
Yeah, she has eyes for nipples, and when she goes to sleep, her spider alter ego comes to life and murders people.
Yeah, there's also one about a woman bathing in the blood of the young,
mm-hmm.
I think. Apparently, okay, so this premiered. When this premiered, his introduction said he wasn't interested in making PC shit, and that he was going to make some fucked up shit for everybody. The reviews, I'll just quote the review. So extreme and pervasive in its misogyny that it becomes a running gag amongst the audience only. And like, that's the thing, is apparently it's not very shocking. Like, it's not at all like scary or shocking, and it's just like pretty misogynist, and apparently the editing is just over the top bad. It was compared to Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. Have you watched that?
Yeah,
it's compared to that with the editing, where it's like, I mean, everything about this, they're saying it's the next Room. They specifically talk about how in Garth Marenghi, how they use the joke where they use slow motion to fill the time is apparently a thing in this, or something similar to that. There's like a lot of stretched out moments where it feels like filler. The editing is nonsense.
Oh my god. The other vignette I just read in your notes is about a woman who murders people and then cuts off their faces and uses their faces to cover up her burn scars.
Mm-hmm. It's based off a comic, I think.
Sure.
Yeah. Some of these quotes. At the premiere, Danzig, who seems completely sincere about the movie he's made, rallied against Hollywood filmmaking, which he sees as inauthentic. I'll give him this. Verotica is an exceptionally authentic film insofar as it presents an unfiltered glimpse into the psyche of Glenn Danzig.
That's what makes Danzig so great.
Yeah.
Is that he's completely sincere with all of
exactly. If you were to parody bad editing, it still wouldn't be this bad. Sequences drag and drag, then cut to an alternate angle, completely unmotivated, then cut back to the original angle for more dragging, fading out in seemingly arbitrary places. Every plot point is completely illogical. Every character dumb as a brick. Every set like something out of a second year film school project. There are so many weird, terrible choices in this movie that to list them would be to describe the film almost frame by frame. So yeah, this is an exciting movie. I'll give Danzig one thing is I was looking at other reviews, audience reviews, which I don't completely trust because it's like, I don't know who this person is. Mm-hmm. And it's on like IMDb. One person said that when he came on stage after hearing the audience laughing, he was happy to hear them laughing.
Okay.
Like that maybe he sincerely set out to make a movie and it was like okay with the idea of it being a campy.
Yeah.
Like because
embracing, steering into the skid of what it ends
exactly.
up being.
Because, you know, The Misfits is all about that shit, about old campy horror movies. So I'd like to think that Danzig is in on the joke, but apparently...
Both versions of this are beautiful to me.
Yes. No matter what, it's going to be a very exciting movie to watch.
Oh yeah, I cannot wait to watch Danzig's movie.
Yeah. I had two movies set up for the movies that deserve more hype, and then this popped up on like my Twitter feed, and I was like, fucking cancel everything.
Yeah, you have an RSS feed set up specifically for when Danzig is mentioned.
Hello. Tell your children not to laugh at my film.
So yeah, there's no trailer for this. I don't think there's a poster. I don't know when it's gonna show up. I just know it's out there somewhere. It may just
exist in Danzig's house.
It's like the It Follows monster. Like, I know it's gonna come for me.
You're gonna be parking your car one day and see it down the street. You're like, oh shit, that's the movie.
I hope it's that, not Danzig. That would be a scary thing to see. I hope to never see Danzig on the street.
That should be It Follows too. It's just Danzig.
Just Danzig.
It's just Danzig the whole time. Danzig in different outfits, but it's still Danzig.
Mm-hmm.
I know you had sex.
Oh. Oh. This movie has made my life better.
Yeah.
Knowing it's out there.
The past 6 minutes has been the highest point of my day. Just,
oh, shit.
Talking about Danzig's goddamn movie.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. All right.
Yeah, I think that's a sode.
I think that's it.
We did it.
we made it.
This is fun. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Yes, thanks for being on here.
Yeah, thanks so much for doing it.
Where can we find you?
What do you got to sell to people? What do you got?
I've got my first episode of American Dad airing on July 29th.
Yes.
On TBS. And you'll have to let me know how it goes because I don't have cable.
You can go somewhere.
Yeah, you know.
Have you not seen it?
I've seen my episode, but okay. I mean, I haven't seen it on my own TV.
Yeah, you should see it with like ads and stuff. And yeah. Like a...
Get the full
real
experience.
Immersive experience. Yeah. Where I can also see the Toyotathon sales event.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can find me on Twitter at Soren_LTD. And I've got a podcast with Dan O'Brien, also from Cracked. And the podcast is called Quick Question with Soren and Dan.
Yeah, it's delightful in that it's listening to you guys have casual conversations, which is...
Yeah, a lot of it is me checking in with Dan about pop culture because I am so unplugged, and Dan checking in with me about the horrible decisions he makes in his everyday life. Like, is this okay?
Yeah, delightful.
Can I come back from this? Is it all over for me?
Yeah. What should I have done?
Right. Awesome. You guys have a Patreon set up for that too, right?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, you can go to the Quick Question, Soren and Daniel Patreon. I don't even know. I think if you Google that,
you'll find
it. Yeah,
you'll find it.
I'm sure.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Dave, what the hell? What do we have? What do we have?
Oh, God. When is this? This is coming out like today or tomorrow.
Yeah,
so,
whenever I edit it.
Well, all right. Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's our Patreon. We have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. We also have a new, we're got like a mini series, a podcast mini series right now called The Adventures of Two Guys Watching the Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. because this one guy made us. It's literally that. So yeah, check that out. And oh, we've been meaning to do this. Leave a review on our iTunes.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. You brought that up last time, Tom.
I did.
That's a good idea.
Keep doing it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I think that's it. Say goodbye, everybody. Let's get the hell out of here.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can follow him on Twitter at thecorlew, C-O-R-L-E-W, and find more music at shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Brown, and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.